Chapter 9. Jesus' Search for Proven History. Jesus said, "I am a servant of God, who has decreed that I shall be given the Scripture. He has appointed me a prophet, and bestowed his blessings upon me wherever I might be, and enjoined me to observe the contact prayers, and the giving of alms, for as long as I live, and to honor my mother. He made me not an evil tyrant. Peace is my lot the day I was born, the day I die, and the day I am resurrected." This is the truthful story of Jesus, the son of Mary, about whom they still conjecture. Quran 19:30-34. At the root of Christian doctrine is the question of the identity of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. We have already examined the concepts of Jesus as God, the Son of God, part of the Trinity, and the Redeemer of mankind. In all cases, we have seen major flaws in these traditional concepts of this man. Now, however, there is something new which will open exciting new doors in our search. The first physical evidence to validate all relevant aspects of Jesus' history. Something new has recently emerged in the spiritual world. It is no longer purely spiritual. An unexpected source has been found which authenticates the Scripture. The result is that we now possess documents that are proven to be divine revelation. Authenticating mathematical code. An intricate mathematical code, far beyond the ability of human intelligence, has been discovered embedded in the fabric of the Scripture. Like an ancient time capsule, it remained hidden until our knowledge grew sophisticated enough to decode its intricacies. This code was deciphered by computers. The discovery of mathematically coded Scripture assures us that the verses, words, letters, and all parameters of the original Scripture were written down in accordance with an intricate pattern that is clearly superhuman. The first indication of this mathematical composition was in the 11th century by Rabbi Judah the Pious. In a book entitled Studies in Jewish Mysticism, Joseph Dan writes that Rabbi Judah and his disciples developed the theory that the words and letters of the various prayers are not accidental, nor are they only vehicles for their literal meaning. Their order, especially their numbers, reflect a mystical harmony, a sacred divine rhythm. This mystical harmony can be discovered in historical events, directed by God, in nature, especially in the miraculous occurrences directly influenced by divine powers, and first and foremost, in the Bible. According to Rabbi Judah and the Ashkenazi Hasidic school in general, there can be nothing accidental in the Bible, not even the forms of letters, the punctuation, the vocalization, and especially in the numerical structures, the number of certain letters, consonants, or vowels in a certain verse, the number of words from the same root, the number and variety of divine names in a certain pericope, the absence of one or more letters from a chapter, and many other elements of the Scriptures besides their content. 9 centuries after Rabbi Judah stated these elements of the code, the computer has demonstrated each of them. As detailed in this chapter and the next, the original Scripture was mathematically composed in a way that encodes and guards every single one of its parameters. If the Scriptures were tampered with, the code would be broken. Joseph Dan writes that Rabbi Judah was critical of the French and British Jews when they altered the morning prayer by adding a few words. Rabbi Judah pointed out that such an addition destroys the numerical structure of the prayer and renders it utterly nullified. He maintained that it is the numerical combination, rather than the meanings of the words, that affects the needed contact between the worshiper and God. Even the specific 19-based numerical system of the Scripture was reported by Rabbi Judah. The people, Jews, in France, made it a custom to add, in the morning prayer, the words, Ashrei Temamai Derech, blessed are those who walk the righteous way, and our rabbi, the pious, of blessed memory, wrote that they were completely and utterly wrong. It is all gross falsehood, because there are only 19 times that the holy name is mentioned in that portion of the morning prayer, and similarly, you find the word Elohim 19 times in the pericope of Vel'ela Shemot. Similarly, you find that Israel is called sons 19 times, and there are many other examples. All these sets of 19 are intricately intertwined, and they contain many secrets and esoteric meanings, which are contained in more than 8 large volumes. Therefore, anyone who has the fear of God in him will not listen to the words of the Frenchmen who add the verse, Ashrei Temamai Terek, and blessed are the righteous who walk in the paths of God's Torah. For according to their additions, the holy name is mentioned 20 times, and this is a great mistake. Furthermore, in this section, there are 152 words. 152 equals 19 times 8. But if you add Ashrei Temamai Derek, there are 158 words. This is nonsense, for it is a great and hidden secret why there should be 152 words. But it cannot be explained in a short treatise. In order to understand this religious phenomenon, we have to take the basic contention of this treatise exactly as it is stated. Every addition or omission of a word, or even of a single letter, from the sacred text of the prayers destroys the religious meaning of the prayer as a whole, and is to be regarded as a grave sin, a sin which could result in eternal exile for those who commit it. What does it mean? The discovery of numerical structures within the scriptures and the divinely instituted liturgies have resulted in a number of important conclusions. Some of these conclusions appear in Studies in Jewish Mysticism. 1. No change can be tolerated in the text of the prayers, not even a minute one, because every change, even of one letter, would destroy the numerical harmony inherent in the text. 2. The liturgy received new importance and new meaning within the framework of religious practice. A completely new dimension was added in this way to the daily prayer service. It stopped being just a reciting of requests and praises of God in ancient formulas, and became a vehicle for becoming a participant in a mystical, divine harmony. The prayer suddenly received a new depth of meaning and importance, which was undreamed of in the 1,000 years that had passed since they were formulated. Joseph Dan reports that the fierce, polemical tone of Rabbi Judah's criticism of the changes introduced by the Frenchman in the prayers can therefore be explained as a result of his fear that the prayers may be regarded as completely human in origin and meaning, making them secular and meaningless in religious and mystical practices. Rabbi Judah was also fearful that changes to the prayer would disrupt the mystical dimension and break the connection with God that they created. According to him, Rabbi Judah, even if the context and meaning of the prayer is religious, expressing love and devotion to God, it still will be just a secular song like that of the non-Jews if it does not have the added mystical dimension of hidden truth, the mathematical composition, which cannot be revealed by the literal meaning of the words alone. In his polemic, Rabbi Judah does not defend only the specific tradition of prayer which he received from his parents and teachers. He also defends prayer as an elevating force, forming a connection between man and God, a connection that no mere words can achieve. The divinely instituted liturgies in their original unaltered words are so numerically composed that they can be compared to the combination of a locked safe. We need to dial that specific combination to establish contact with our Creator. This is probably why daily prayers were called in Jesus' language SLA and in Arabic SALA, which means contact or connection. Because of this understanding, Rabbi Judah warned his neighbors in France and England that if they allowed any change in the text of the prayers, their prayers would become like the songs of the uncircumcised non-Jews. Free expression of feelings, religious or secular, was regarded by Rabbi Judah as a non-Jewish song, which has no place in the framework of worship. Obviously, the slightest change, even of one letter, would destroy the divinely composed numerical system and thus the combination to open the lock and establish contact with God would not work. Importance to our subject. The discovery of mathematically authenticated scripture provides a totally unexpected opportunity to explore the validity of the Christian understanding of Jesus. If there were a scripture which was proven to be unaltered by human beings, it would give us a safe point of reference for our study. The idea of mathematically composing a literary work is certainly novel to human thinking and unique to the scriptures. The numerical pattern serves both as an authenticating tool and as a guard to protect and preserve the scripture. Obviously, finding original, unaltered scripture is of crucial importance. The slightest change in the text of a mathematically coded literary work would disrupt or utterly destroy such a code. The mathematical pattern would simply disappear. As pointed out by Rabbi Judah, every addition or omission of a word, or even of a single letter, destroys the religious meaning of the prayer as a whole and is regarded as a grave sin. From a purely mathematical point of view, the slightest change renders the pattern non-existent. 76, for example, is a multiple of 19, but 77 or 75 is not. Original Scripture. There is proof that one scripture is completely intact and perfectly preserved. Unlike other known scriptures, this one still exists in its original, untranslated language, just as it was revealed 1,400 years ago. It is known to be complete, with no loss of any of the original revelation. Western access to this scripture has been limited by the fact that people to whom it was originally delivered have all but buried it with their cultural tradition. They believe that it is the basis of their religious belief, when in fact, what they practice generally goes contrary to its teachings. This scripture is the Quran. In a recent translation of the Quran, the translator emphasizes the role of the number 19 as an authenticating code for the Quran. In 1968, through computer decoding, and totally independent of the work of Rabbi Judah the Pious, Dr. Rashad Khalifa discovered that an extremely intricate 19-based numerical structure encodes and guards every aspect of the Quran. In the second edition of his translation, Quran, the Final Testament, Khalifa refers to Rabbi Judah's work and suggests that 19 represents God's own signature on everything he created. He also provides the first plausible explanation for the prominence of the 19-based mathematical pattern throughout the scriptures, as well as the universe. In his appendix entitled 19, The Creator's Signature, Khalifa writes, "The scriptures are not the only mathematically composed creations of God where the number 19 is the common denominator. It is profound indeed that Galileo made his famous statement, 'Mathematics is the language with which God created the universe.' A plethora of scientific findings have now shown that the number 19 represents God's signature upon certain creations. This divine stamp appears throughout the universe in much the same manner as the signatures of Michelangelo and Picasso identify their works. For example, 1. The sun, the moon, and the earth become aligned in the same relative positions once every 19 years. 2. Halley's Comet, a profound heavenly phenomenon, visits our solar system every 76 years, 19 times 4. 3. God's stamp on you and me is manifested in the fact that the human body contains 209 bones, 19 times 11. 4. Langmann's Medical Embryology by T.W. Sadler is used as a textbook in most of the medical schools in the USA. On page 88 of the 5th edition, we read the following statement. In general, the length of a pregnancy for a full-term fetus is considered to be 280 days, or 40 weeks after onset of the last menstruation, or more accurately, 266 days, or 38 weeks after fertilization. The numbers 266 and 38 are both multiples of 19. Specific relevance. As in other research, if we can find an authenticated outside source, we have a good yardstick against which to measure the other information we have about Jesus Christ and Christian doctrine. As demonstrated by the number of quotes in previous chapters, the Quran speaks a great deal about Jesus and about specific Christian doctrines. Once we are convinced that the Quran is indeed an intact divine revelation, we have an invaluable tool in our research. Thus, when the mathematically coded statements of the Quran say, for example, that Jesus created live birds from clay, Quran 3:49 and 5:110, this becomes a proven statement by virtue of its mathematically authenticated composition. After reviewing the intricate mathematical code of the Quran, you will see that we have God's own testimony concerning the history of Jesus, an eyewitness account. The next chapter gives a detailed summary of this unique mathematical code. This is the truthful story of Jesus, the son of Mary, about whom they still conjecture. Quran 19:34.